Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget, follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Coming up in the second and third segments of our show this week, we're going to speak with Roy Cummings of PewterPirates.com. But don't get it twisted. He knows the Lightning. He was one of the original six writers to write for the team from its inception through the Stanley Cup winning year and many years after that. So really interesting perspective from him. Every time we get to talk to him, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet too. So stick around for that. But there are a couple things that Dory and I want to hash out here in the first segment.
We call them house cleaning.
House cleaning items, okay? Let's talk about the story that came out right after the new year. Bucks Rays fans among the most miserable in major pro sports, according to ESPN. So let's just let you know where the Lightning rank in this before we kind of dig in. The Tampa Bay Lightning, as you might expect, they did better. They are ranked 104th, and they are the 20th happiest fan base overall and 5th happiest in the NHL.
I don't know who they asked.
Yeah, it's an ESPN report.
Who?
But I'm reading the story from the Tampa Bay Times.
You know, I'm thinking, here's my guess. And if you guys out there, like, voted in this poll thing.
Because they didn't ask you and I.
Yeah. I'm thinking it was a poll. So if you guys, like, voted, let us know.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking this is how it went. They set up a poll.
Yep.
And they had people vote.
Right.
And it just so happened that Lightning fans are too busy, you know, watching their team win. To be bothered to fill out a poll question. That's just my guess.
Right.
This isn't like a pewresearch.org.
And here's the thing. If you're happy with something, you're less likely to complain about
it. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if you're unhappy, you want to tell everybody.
Yeah. So I don't want like Lightning fans to be like,
don't be discouraged.
We're way happy. No, I think Lightning fans are probably amongst the happiest of all sports things.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to be.
All right, so Bucks fans are the 15th most miserable of the 123 NFL, MLB, NBA, and NHL fan bases in ESPN Sports Misery Index. Well, the Rays fans, they place 18th in the rankings. So just kind of let us know what your thoughts are on this, because, look, I like watching professional football, but it's kind of been a little miserable watching this season. There was some excitement with the whole Fitzmagic thing, but in the end, it was not fun.
Yeah, understandable. So you guys are probably Bucks fans out there.
And Rays fans.
And Rays fans as well. So let us know what you guys think, if you agree.
Or if you disagree, we'd love to hear you.
If you disagree. I tend to think that most of them will say they're pretty miserable, though.
Yeah.
That's
so
okay.
Tweet us at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Let's talk about the All-Star.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, elected to the All-Star team. No surprise there.
I'm shocked that Victor Hedman didn't.
Well, we can't take all the spots.
Sure we can. Why not?
We got to be, you know, play nice with the other kids in the sandbox.
It's not our fault.
Here's the thing. I'm okay with having just those two. I don't necessarily want the whole team playing.
Yeah.
But I think we should have representatives from the Lightning that will show off our team to the other teams in the league. You know, right now, as it stands, we're at the top of the league. We should have representatives there. And you still have a chance to vote in Braden Point. Through the 10th of January, I believe.
Do it.
So go to follow Tampa Bay Lightning on Twitter. Go to their website. It's all over. So you can go vote.
Because I just want to see him even in the skills competition.
Well, and he was put
last
in last year because Victor Hedman was injured. With the All-Star game, though, being in Tampa, it was a lot easier for that. And Victor Hedman was still involved with like the training staff, which was great. But Alex Ovechkin declined his invitation.
Interesting.
And it's like a real hot button around the league.
It is. And I know it's a real hot button. You got Brett Hull out there. Somebody asked him his opinion on it. Actually, it was because Washington was in St. Louis and he was there. And so he was asking. And he just said, real quick, I wish a guy like Alex Ovechkin would play. If you're injured, you're injured. There's nothing you can do about that. But this is to grow the game. And I know we have enough great players that as much as he'll be missed, we have enough to entertain the fans. But I know as a fan of Alex Ovechkin, I'd love to come and see him live in a 3-on-3 game. Okay. Here's my quick response.
Okay.
Then go to a hockey game. And you can watch him play for about 22 minutes.
Right.
How about that? I know it's to grow. I know it's to grow. But here's the thing. And I don't want to, when, oh, if you don't want to play and this and that, you're tired. But people don't realize this is in San Jose this year. Okay.
Yeah.
And so if he lives in Washington area, that's a really dang long trip. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a pro on the, I'm on the player side with this. I think those things are, they're fun.
Right.
And they're to, quote, grow the game. But he's not the only player that can grow the game.
Right.
So I, you know, maybe he's just holding out because there's no vodka.
Okay.
Still, I'm never letting it go.
Hey, here's, you know what? And somebody on the NHL Network was talking about it. Maybe it's a better idea that he stays away because the one in Columbus, we all know what happened in the drunk draft that they did, and they've kind of done away
still
with
it. Still love
it. But he was here in Tampa Bay for this last year's mm-hmm. All-Star game, and he was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't, like, he was just there. He had family in town for it. And
well,
he was not,
yeah.
You know, he wasn't that guy from Columbus All-Star game where
love
he
it.
Was a little messy.
I wouldn't say messy. I would say festive.
He was feeling festive. So, look, you can be at he can be in an All-Star game and be entertaining and be involved. So I don't know where I stand on this. If it was on the East Coast, I'd feel a little bit better about our guys going all the way
yeah.
to San Jose.
Yeah, that's my thing. I get
but
it.
But the guys from the West Coast, you know, when it's on the East Coast, they got to come over there. So I get it. There are consequences to him not participating. He has to choose either one of the two games adjacent to the beginning or the adjacent to the All-Star
yeah,
break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he gets to choose. So he has to sit out a game for not going. Okay.
Big deal.
Maybe, you know, it's like, okay, so if you have more than one player elected to the All-Star team, can you decline and just have to send one representative? But then how do you decide which one goes? It's like a thing. It's a thing.
I do get the fans' perspective
yeah,
of it. I do understand.
Because if you're in San Jose, you maybe see Alex Ovechkin come to town once a year.
Yeah, I get it.
Once
get
a season.
It.
So
I don't know how many Alex Ovechkin fans there really are in San Jose. Let's kind of like
they got
stop.
Brent Burns.
And I know that's like a defense that like everybody uses for this, but it's a really weak defense because when we had the All-Star game last year, if Brent Burns didn't show up, I just wanted to see Brent Burns come.
Yeah.
I mean, get
because
out of here.
Because there aren't a lot of, like, Alex Ovechkin's been involved in a lot of All-Star
mm-hmm.
games. And so if you're an Alex Ovechkin fan and you're a Capitals fan and you want to see him participate in an All-Star game, you have plenty of opportunity mm-hmm. to go see him play in one.
Right. Nobody's keeping you from going to travel to see Alex Ovechkin. So,
We would love to hear your opinion on this. And we're going to ask Roy Cummings, our guest, in the next couple segments, his thoughts on it, because he was very involved with the NFL as well. And, you know, there was a lot of hullabaloo about Pro Bowl All-Star
kind of
thing.
It was in Hawaii. And
so we would love to hear your thoughts on this. You know, do you think Alex Ovechkin should be made to play if he's not injured? Or you think he has every right to step down and sit out one game? Or you think the punishment should be more?
Yeah.
We would love to hear your thoughts on it. Tweet us at GameMiz with a Z Conduct. And also don't forget, you know, because, you know, Brayden Point, any guy on our team deserves to be in the All-Star game, let's be quite frank. So Brayden Point still has a chance to be involved. So if you want to see him in San Jose at the All-Star festivities, you still have a chance to vote to get him in. You can find we will retweet that link for you so you can find it at Game Misconduct. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our guest, Roy Cummings.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And Dory, I'm very excited about our guest today. We have him on at least once a season, and it's taken us almost half a season to get to him, and couldn't be happier to have him today. Roy Cummings from
PewterPirates.com.
Hi, Roy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You guys got that right. Probably not the kind of website you're usually referring to on a lightning podcast, but at the end of the day, still, you know, Bucks related, but you guys know hockey's my first love. So it's always been there, always will be, always following the Lightning and the NHL closely. So and what an exciting season we're off to. Man, oh, man, it's what an entertaining product these guys are.
Yeah, so Roy, can you remind everybody where they can find, so pewterpirates.com, obviously you're involved with, but as far as social media or anything else you're involved in?
Yeah, well, still doing a little stuff with FloridaFootballInsiders.com. Not doing a whole lot of Lightning stuff, but PewterPirates.com is a venture that I started with, and I'm going to test the knowledge of diehard Bolts fans. Mike Neighbors, who was the kind of the sideline reporter before Aaron Andrews came along.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going way back. Just after I left the beat, actually, Mike Neighbors and I started a football website here in Tampa called PewterPirates.com. It's obviously a Bucks website. I'll tell you what, the graphics and the video work, it's primarily that. There's not a lot of writing, but I do write for it after games and stuff. But it's the graphics and video stuff is as good as there is. I mean, really, as good as there is in the area. We do stuff that other entities don't do. And we have, like everybody, we've got a podcast called A Few Extra Bucks. And that's where you get all the insight and everything else. And that's the little venture that we've started. We're having a lot of fun with it. We're all over the search for a new coach right now. So if you can still go up there and get our opinions on the coaching candidates and all that kind of stuff, still fresh. It's only been up for maybe 24, 48 hours. So still fresh stuff there because they haven't picked a coach yet. And in fact, I think we kind of lean towards, well in advance. I think we already kind of hinted who we think it's going to be. And I think we kind of got it right. So take a listen if you have a chance. PewterPirates.com, A Few Extra Bucks podcast.
Well, that was a great tease because now I'm intrigued.
and speaking of it.
Is it a tease or is it clickbait? Because, I just a few minutes ago on my Twitter account, I teased to something that I had and somebody said, I was making some reference to, how unusual it was that the Bucks actually interviewed Bruce Arians. And somebody tweeted back saying, what's so unusual about it? And I said, well, see here. Yeah, I tweeted back to him. I said, see here, the idea is that you actually read the story. and I made a confession. I said, confession, this is called a tease in our business. The idea is that I tease you to get you to, and hopefully get you intrigued enough to read the story. And then some other clown, tweeted back saying, no, it's called clickbait. And I said, okay. I thought about clicking back to him saying, and you are a troll, so, welcome to the euphemisms of today. But anyway, that's the Twitter universe.
Throwdown. See, in my business, or how I understand it, clickbait is, it kind of gets you to click on something, and then it doesn't actually tell you or give you a solution payoff.
Right.
But a tease, a payoff that equals the tease.
Yeah. There's always a payoff when I'm involved. I'm not going to ever tease you and then leave you hanging.
See, that's why we like you, Roy.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Man of your word.
So kind of talking a little or on the subject of coaches, one team that's doing all right in the coaching department, our Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, I like saying this every time you're on because I just think it's really, really cool. You are one of the original six writers for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That is correct.
Which is so cool.
And believe me, that is a title that I am very, very proud to have. In fact, I covered the Lightning, I probably told you guys the story 1,000 times, but I covered the Lightning from the very day that Phil Esposito came to Tampa and said he was going to try to bring a team here. There were about 5 or 8 of us maybe that went out. I think we met at some lunch spot somewhere near on Kennedy Boulevard in downtown Tampa. He'd just flown in. He'd never been to Tampa before. He knew nothing about it. And he said he was going to bring a team here. And I wrote about it and was on the beat after that for the next 10-plus years. So, and I covered him. As long as the Tampa Tribune was in business, I covered them on a regular basis, mm-hmm. even after football season ended. So was always involved in it, and it was the best time of my career. There's no doubt about it. It was easily the best time of my career.
And so when you look back at, 26 years at this point, to where they are now, and I've said this, and I especially recently, and I'm not going to get involved in anything that can get anybody in trouble, but with the current situation with the Buccaneers, I have said to just about everybody, the very first thing people say about the Tampa Bay Lightning, forget Steven Stamkos, forget Nikita Kucherov, forget the team. They talk about the organization. So over the last 26 years, how incredible has it been to witness this kind of organization that has roots in the community? And in fairly short amount of time, we're only talking 8 years here, very deep roots in the community, making an impact, changing, you know, the landscape of Channelside area. How do you, like, when you first heard Mr. Esposito say he's going to bring a hockey team, did you ever in your wildest dreams imagine this is what it would become?
No, I never imagined it would become, you know, I don't call it an organization. I call it an empire.
Ooh.
I really do, because what Jeffrey Vinnick has done is far beyond what anybody ever envisioned for this hockey team. When this team first came, or when Phil first, you know, thought about bringing a team here, you know, he had a lot of dreams and a lot of ideas, and he had some people around him that had similar dreams and ideas, but there were a lot of people who were opposed to it. Nobody understood the game. Nobody knew what he was talking about. There was a lot of opposition to the arena, as you guys well know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were attempts to build it on the grounds now where there's a parking lot for Raymond James Stadium. That didn't mm-hmm. happen. They went across the bay to St. Petersburg, played there for a while, played in the fairgrounds, you know, finally ended up building an arena. And, you know, they've been through bad ownership and good, but, you know, this by far is the best. And the reason Jeffrey Vinnick is different than a lot of owners in every sport is that he has a bigger vision of what it is he wants to do in terms of impacting a city. He doesn't want to just impact the city by giving you an entertainment entity that's a lot of fun to watch and makes you proud to be a fan of the team. He wants to have a footprint laid on this turf, and he wants it to be remembered arguably forever, and it will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is downtown Tampa is becoming Vinnickville, and he's done tremendous work there. All you have to do is go to a hockey game, and it's frustrating right now, but there's so much construction. That's all Jeffrey Vinnick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just, you know, it's barely even the cross on the T or the dot on the I. I mean, there's a lot more work that is going to go on and that he's going to do. And to be honest with you, a little selfish here, I hope that he somehow at some point gets involved with the baseball team and salvages that problem, because, you know, that's an issue. And Jeffrey Vinnick can make everything right. He's got that ability. You know?
Let Mr. Vinnick handle it. Whatever your problem is, just give it to him and Penny, and then they'll take care of it.
Yeah. You got bunions on your toes? Go see Jeffrey. He'll fix it, you know?
Well,
as
a downtown resident, I mean, it's just the beginning of what they're doing, and it's already leaps and bounds better than it was when I moved there almost 3 years ago with the promise that they were going to revitalize downtown. I mean, it's just it's really kind of becoming a neighborhood, which is what they wanted. And why downtown hadn't become a neighborhood before now is unbeknownst to me. It was just city planning and all that. But really, their influx and their Sparkman Wharf is beautiful, and it's really now become a walking city. It's definitely a destination for people now.
It's going to become an area for people like you who you never have to leave that area. You know, I mean, I live in South Tampa, and I don't ever have to leave South Tampa. Well, I do now because they closed up the Sam's Club, which doesn't make me mad. But you know, outside of that, I don't have to ever have to leave South Tampa. I think what's going to happen down there around Sparkman Wharf and the arena, the same thing. You're never going to have to leave there because eventually, you know, they'll have another Publix that you can get to a little bit closer to you. It'll really become a destination. I think it's going to become, and it's a little bit of a push, I guess. But what I think their vision is at the end of the day, it's going to become a little bit like Wrigleyville in Chicago, where, you know, you have a lot of residents. It's going to be different. It's not going to have the same kind of homey atmosphere, but because the residencies are going to be high-rise buildings and stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have everything right there where you want. There's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of bars and restaurants. Again, everything you need is going to be there. I mean, the USF Medical Center is going to be mm-hmm. there. My guess is, you know, if you have those bunions on your toes, you won't have to walk.
See? He's already fixing it.
Yeah, you won't even need a car. I mean, you probably won't.
You can limp with your bunions.
Yeah, and if the other people in the community ever get smart and build us a light rail system beyond the trolley, I mean, again, you won't need a car, and that's going to be special. So, and it's all Jeffrey Vinnick, and again, it's the idea of having building more than just a hockey team, and I think that's where a lot of owners kind of miss it when they start talking about trying to improve a city. That's really a tremendous vision, and not everybody can have it or pull that off. But Jeffrey Vinnick can, and we're so fortunate to have him. There's no doubt about it.
So, speaking of the team is pretty darn good. Just kind of give us a brief synopsis of what you've seen thus far, and then we can get into their win streak came to an end the other night versus San Jose, which we knew it was going to come to an end at some point. But pretty darn good so far. So this season, kind of just brief synopsis of what you've seen in through your eyes.
Yeah, pretty darn good is an understatement for sure. I mean, they are easily the best team in the NHL. I think they're right now the best team I've seen in maybe the last 3 or 4 years. I know some other teams have obviously come up and won cups, but I'd put the Lightning up against any one of them right now. The thing that about them, I actually heard somebody say, and I can understand this, I actually heard somebody say locally last week that, boy, all this winning, it's almost kind of getting boring. They go out there and they win every night. Sometimes they fall behind and have to come back, but they win every night, and it's kind of getting boring. I remember, it was a little bit more fun when it was a challenge and we were kind of climbing the mountain and all that stuff. And now we're on top of the mountain. We just keep, everybody that tries to come up and knock us off, we kick them back down the slate long before they ever get to the top. And I can see how that can be a little bit boring. I mean, I've always kind of wondered, never having been around, being a lifelong Cubs fan, the only team that I actually root for, I've always kind of wondered what's it like, if you were the Yankees and you're always winning, does it get boring? And I can sort of see that with the Lightning, except I'll say this: last night, now I didn't watch the whole game. I started to fall asleep in the second period, so I caught the first period, but I kind of realized last night that, right now, if you're a little bit bored with the Lightning because they're winning all the time, just go and enjoy the spectacle that they are in terms of how they move the puck around. I mean, I've never said this before. I mean, I think certain players are worth the price of admission right now. I mean, Steven Stamkos still is, obviously Kucherov is, Vasilevsky is, Braden Point is. I think that's the case with the Lightning. But you know what else is worth the price of admission? Just go and watch these guys move the puck around. Mm-hmm. It is incredible. I can't take credit for this because somebody else said it. I think it was an ESPN analyst or something. But someone said few weeks back, maybe a month ago, that the Lightning are kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of the NHL, just the way they move the puck around. I mean, it's like a dance on ice, and it is incredible. And right now, I mean it. I mean, they're worth the price of admission just to go watch them pass the puck, even if they don't score.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the moves they make, their ability to their skill and everything is just, it's outrageous. I've never seen anything like it. And believe me, I was thinking last night, I said, man, this is like the, 71, 72 Canadiens. This is kind of like the, the old Oilers teams with Gretzky and Messier and those guys. It reminds me a little bit of, some of the old Penguins teams with Lemieux. And I mean, it's a special, special team, and we should all be enjoying watching it. And there's a lot there for everybody to watch, no matter what kind of hockey you like.
Yeah, at least once a game you get a, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just did that. And it's not always when they're scoring a goal. And it was interesting, the game, watching the game from San Jose, how every time that San Jose scored against us, it was like they had won a Stanley Cup. If you watched the people in the stands, because, we're so used to it when we see them in our building. And even earlier in the season when I went to Las Vegas to see the Lightning play, it wasn't so much like a, oh my gosh, thank goodness they got one by those guys. I feel like it was like, that was kind of what I was seeing in the San Jose stands was, oh my gosh, I can't believe we got one. And they're one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL. So they're no slacks on their own, but it was almost like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're doing this from the faces of the people in the stands that whenever they would score against the Lightning.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. And it wasn't just the people in the stands. It was the players. Go back and look at those first two goals,
yeah.
Especially, you know, that long pass and then that incredible tip in, that was special. I mean, maybe it was just the fact that, holy cow, yeah, I can't believe we pulled that off. But you're right. Even the players, I think, felt that way. And you know what? That's who the Lightning are in terms of the impression in the stands. I think everybody, if you're a hockey fan and you follow it even, you know, casually, you know how good the Lightning are. I mean, just all you have to do is look at the standings, and you see, you know, they're 14 points ahead of everybody else. They're just beating the crap out of everybody. Every one of their – I mean, you could make an argument for every one of their players being on the All-Star team. I know there's a lot of talk about Braden Point right now, and my guess is he'll get there. But I mean, you can make a case for Eric Chernak being in the, mm-hmm. the All-Star team, at least from the standpoint of a guy who wasn't expected to contribute and has played, you know, his minutes as if he's a good, solid 8-year veteran. you know, I mean, he's been incredible too. So everything is clicking for these guys, and it's just been an awful lot of fun to watch.
We're speaking with Roy Cummings of PewterPirates.com and one of the original six writers for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I love that. Yeah. Let's not forget. So kind of parlaying on what you just said about Eric Chernak, how he's just kind of been lights out. We didn't really know a lot about this kid. You know, one guy goes down, he's the next man up, and he's just lights out. So, you know, Danik Martel a couple games ago where he was not even at the rink yet and had to suit up and gets his just plays an incredible game. So can you kind of speak to, and we've kind of talked about it a little bit this season, about the system that in Syracuse, how even the guys that are up with the big team right now who may not be seeing regular minutes, whenever they're called upon, they just deliver, or they're just able to so easily slot in. And it was something we didn't see before Steve Yzerman and Julien Brisebois kind of took over the team. And can you just kind of speak to that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, going back, you know, as you said, just prior to the time when Steve Yzerman took over, you know, this is an organization that if one of the top players went down, if one of the top four defensemen went down, not just top six, but one of the top four went down, if one of the top two lines players on the top two lines went down, the depth wasn't there, and you felt the impact of it immediately. It was tough to overcome for this team, but I think the thing that, and I think religious fans know this, but the casual fan may not realize that. In my opinion, I think the strength of the Lightning is the fact that they have a system down in Syracuse, a minor league feeder system that is as good as the one they have. You know, Syracuse is running away with things in the
American
League right now. And there's a reason for that. They got a bunch of NHL caliber players there. There's just, you know, there's just guys like, you know, Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point and, you know, so many others, you know, in their way right now. And that's a great thing. But this was all part of, you know, building the organization. When you talk about building an organization, you know, you do mean more than just, you know, building the team that plays in the NHL. It's a matter of building a very strong feeder system. And the way you do that is you have coaches down at that level who have the same philosophy as the coach at the NHL level. And they're instilling the same principles, explaining the same system, playing the same system. Everybody's doing the same thing, so that when you do come up, if you are an Eric Chernak or a Martel, you come in and you immediately know your role. There's no adjustment at all. You know exactly what it is you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be on every play, what the breakouts are, what the, you know, what the entries are, what the regroups are, the whole bit. You know everything, and that's why the Lightning have been able to accept players like that into the fold and literally not miss a beat. In fact, maybe even get better because the fresh legs look good and you can lose. I mean, think about it. I mean, they've lost Anton Stralman for a month. They lost Hedman for a month.
They lost the goaltender. They lost a Vezina finalist goaltender for, you know, 5-6 weeks.
Yeah. 3 years ago, you know, that would have crippled this team. They would have crippled this team. And, you know, certainly 10 years ago would have, well, maybe not 10, but I mean, there were times when most teams that would cripple them. You can't lose your top two defensemen. You can't lose your goaltender. You know, this team has been able to survive the loss over periods of time and still go deep into the playoffs without Steven Stamkos. And, you know, right now, I think they could lose any one of those guys. I'm certainly not in favor of it, but you know, I don't want to see him tested, but I think they can lose Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, and someone else would step up because they have that much talent. They are that deep, and that's all a matter of looking again. This is, again, when you talk about, it's not just about building what you see on the ice in the NHL. It's about building the exact same thing in the minor league system, and that's how you build a championship organization. That's how it's done.
We're with Roy Cummings from PewterPirates.com. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We're back. Game Misconduct. CT and Dory here with our friend Roy Cummings, who's one of the original six writers for the Tampa Bay Lightning. From the day Phil Esposito put his feet on Tampa Bay ground, that he was with them. So he knows the history of this team, and he lived it with them. So
yeah, pretty much better than almost anybody.
Yeah. So we kind of talked about next man up in the last segment and how, you know, just guys from Syracuse and guys that are with the big team who maybe don't play normal minutes every night, they can just step in, and it's almost like no steps have been lost. Let's talk about, we kind of mentioned the Vasilevskiy, Louis Domingue, you know, how Vasi went down for about a month, and it was like no time was lost with Louis Domingue in net. Can you kind of speak to that goaltending? It's not really a tandem because we don't see Louis Domingue on a normal basis, but just knowing that, you know, if something happens, we've got a guy who's sitting right there on the bench who can really kind of show up.
Yeah, it's good to know. And that's something, you know what, it was kind of a good problem that developed for the Lightning there. I think they needed to find out what they had in Louis Domingue and really what kind of a goaltender he really is. You know, being forced to play every night, you know, if he's forced to do it, you know, in crunch time come March, April, May. Can he do it? And, you know, my guess is that he can. And there's a difference between the two. There's no doubt about it. Andrei Vasilevskiy is boy, he may be the best technician I've seen. I mean, he is always square to the puck. Tremendous anticipation. Sees everything happening before it happens. Gives him a big edge. And, of course, his size is just ridiculous. Louis Domingue, a little bit different. Louis Domingue is not as good a technician, in my opinion. A goaltender coach would probably tell you a lot different. But, you know, from what I see of Louis Domingue, you know, he's not a great technician. He misses an angle here and there, gives up a bad goal here and there. But you know what he does that makes him special? He always makes the save that he has to make. Mm-hmm. If you're up 2-1 and, you know, there's 3 minutes left and somebody's got a breakaway, he's going to make that save. You know, he may give up a bad goal to make it 2-1, but he's going to make the big save when you need it. You know, 2-on-1 break, he's going to make it. Crunch time, he's going to make it. That's what I noticed about him is he is a clutch goaltender.
Yeah.
He really makes big plays. That. He seems to step up in the biggest moment. And that's special. And that's as good as being a technician like Vasilevskiy. And I think the Lightning realize that now. And the good thing about it is I think what the forwards and defensemen all realize and what the team realizes, we can still be as aggressive as we normally are. We can pinch in the way we usually do. Because we know that if we give up an odd man break, it's not what we want to do. But we know that Louis Domingue is going to make a big save. The more likely save that he's not going to make is something, you know, 5-on-5, everybody in the zone, you know, and a shot from the point that he sees clearly and he maybe just misses the angle. But if it's a tough play, he's going to make the tough play. And I think that's as special to have as a guy who's as technically sound as Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Now, some of the Domingue thing and his play, I think, can be attributed to the fact that the Lightning have never had a blue line group as deep as this and as skilled as this. And I think that helps a lot. I think it gets kind of, you know, brought up when they didn't have, you know, 6-7 deep. You know, when they're not sending Slater Cuckoo back to Syracuse because Chernek's playing so well. And you have Mikhail Sergachev, who, you know, didn't score a goal until San Jose, but that kid was still playing his butt off out there every single night defensively. Before they had this group, I don't know if Domingue would have had that record he had over the being, you know, the interim starting goaltender. So I think it all is a system that gets worked in a cycle of everything. But I think that sometimes it gets overlooked, especially with goaltenders, how good this Lightning defensive crew is, that they can, you know, we saw against San Jose, Hedman kind of kicked the puck a little bit out of the way, so, you know, to kick it in front so Vasilevsky could make the save. And then they're just such a nice, well-oiled machine right now. Had that been 2 years ago, had there not been a, you know, Ryan McDonagh or a Chernik or a Sergachev, do you think that Louis Domingue would have, you know, had the same success?
No, I don't. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. I think the defense corps is a lot stronger, and I mean, you could look back at last year. I don't think Louis Domingue was anywhere near. Of course, he wasn't as, you know, seasoned at that time either. I think the experience he got last year, particularly, you know, not just in the NHL, but that obviously helped. But, you know, being the regular guy all season long in Syracuse, I think helped him a lot. And you're right. The defense corps is special. I think you play with a lot more confidence as a goaltender, knowing that just about no matter who you throw out there, you've got to – I mean, this used to be a defensive corps that if they had two top four, legitimately top four defensemen, they were feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah.
Right now, you could lay claim to having at least three. I mean, you've got Anton Stralman, you've got Victor Hedman, and you've got McDonagh. Those are three top four, and I do mean top four. Those would be a number one on any other team in the NHL virtually. And I think McDonagh just put this group way over the top. And now it doesn't matter how you work the pairs, you're going to have a good solid defenseman on that pair. And I think that veteran play of Hedman, Stralman, and McDonagh is one of the reasons that the younger guys look seamless and almost flawless out on the ice now, because they've got other guys there who can kind of correct their little mistakes, you know, bail them out at times, basically communicate with them and tell them exactly where they've got to be if they're not hitting their marks. And so I really think that it's a matter of just kind of following the guy next to you for the younger players like Chernak and Sergachev and those guys. And I think that's really helped these guys. And again, when a guy like Slater Cuckoo has been up here playing, you know, alongside Anton Stralman, playing alongside Victor Hedman, playing alongside McDonagh, when he goes back down to the, you know, to the AHL, he's taken a whole bunch of knowledge with
him.
Yeah,
he has.
Didn't have previously. Mm-hmm. And instilling that in everybody else. And, you know, again, that's how this whole system works. You take the lessons you learn here, you work on them down there, you find out again, where, you know, what are my barriers, what are my boundaries, how far can I go? And you realize that stuff down in the minors when you come back up here, you know, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm not going to pinch that deep. I'm not going to go that wide. You know, I've got, and that's how you do it. And that's how these guys have learned. And again, these are some of the little things that, you know, they made big headlines when we got McDonagh. But at the end of the day, it goes beyond just getting a player who's going to help you go another round deep into the playoffs. It's about, okay, what does he bring the following year, and how does he help overall the group and the unit? And that's where these guys have helped so much. Again, it's one of the reasons why you can lose a Stralman for a month, Hedman for a month, the goaltender for a month, and you barely notice a difference. And, you know, I think that's where you were getting to with the claim about backup goalie.
So we've been asking all of our guests this season who they're, if they had to choose one, which I know it's very difficult to do, but if you were to choose one player on the team, defense, goaltender, forward, who would you choose as the standout player for this team?
Well, it's to me, it's between three guys. To me, it's between Vasilevsky, Kucherov, and Braden Point. And I'm going to take Braden Point just because I think we all expected Nikita Kucherov to take the next step. Mm-hmm. I think we all expected Vasilevsky to take the next step, and they've done it. That Braden Point has taken such a big step, to me, is a you could almost argue it's a surprise. I mean, he was one of the best players in the league a year ago. He was probably one of the best players nobody knew about.
Yeah, there was that's a nice way to put it.
A lot of, you know, I remember, you know, at the time writing for FanRagSports.com, which is now out of business, but writing for them, I must have written, you know, a dozen stories about Braden Point, you know, explaining, hey, nobody seems to know who this guy is, and all he does is keep scoring goals and creating points. And the speed and everything else. I mean, this is a guy who, when he first came up, everybody's a little bit worried about his skate. You know, can he skate at this level? We know he's got skill. Well, he's worked on everything, and it's made him such a much better player. He is the guy who, in my opinion, jumps out at you every time you watch a Lightning game.
Yeah.
Kucherov jumps out when he scores. You know, obviously, so does Steven Stamkos. Vasilevsky steps out all the time. But Braden Point is the guy that you constantly see. You know, he's just, he's always, it's hard to, you can't miss him. You just can't miss him. It's almost like he wears red when everybody else is wearing white or blue. Mm-hmm. And he just jumps off the ice at you the whole way because he's just so talented and skilled.
We're speaking with Roy Cummings of PewterPirates.com, who was also one of the original writers on the beat for the Tampa Bay Lightning from the inception through the Stanley Cup win in 2004. And so I'm curious, does this feel like that season to you, or better or different, or kind of give us your idea on that?
This feels very similar, only better. You knew then that team had all the pieces. They were rolling over 2-3 lines. There was so much talent on that team, and then they kind of polished it off at the end with a couple of trades, and it just made you think, okay, now they're ready, you know. And they had guys that stepped up in the clutch, but on a regular basis, guys that you didn't necessarily expect to score big goals for you, and they would just kind of sneak in and do that for you, but this team, and the goaltending was solid.
Mm-hmm.
But this team seems even better because this team seems like it's a more cohesive unit. The depth is much greater, particularly at defense, I think. To me, the goaltender is better. And I just think, to be honest, it may sound a little bit strange, but I think this team is almost hungrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a result of having been, having been so close, mm-hmm. the previous 2-3 years, good enough to win it, but failing, obviously, I just think this team is hungry, and I think it's showing, and I think it's pacing itself. You know, there's one of the concerns I do have about this team is what's going to happen when they do hit that slump. But maybe we've seen it. You know, maybe the slump was, a week and a half ago when they, lost 6-5 and won 5-4 or whatever. Maybe that was the slump. I don't know. But now, you see them, and it's like, that's the only question I really have. Is I am a little bit concerned about how they do have a tendency at times to fall behind, sometimes 3-1, 4-1. They always seem to come back. Mm-hmm. I think in the playoffs it's going to be a little bit harder to come back, so I'd like to see that corrected. But other than that, I get the feeling that the worst slump this team's going to face is maybe a 2-game losing streak, and that could be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you said, with the 04 team that they got a couple pieces at the draft deadline, or at the, not the draft deadline, the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And then you felt like, okay, these guys are ready to go. I don't know that come this draft or trade deadline, excuse me.
Jeez.
I know.
Really looking ahead there.
I know. Come this trade deadline that we're going to be looking to pick up any pieces to kind of put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I agree. And, what's funny about that is never has this team been in a better position, really, to go out and add pieces because you've got so much depth. I mean, you could literally trade a Slater Cook or a Cal Foote,
mm-hmm.
and get a top 3 forward or something like that because, teams are so desperate for defense help. You could trade a Tyler Johnson, and
hey, 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 don't hey, put hey, that out there.
Hey, hey,
I'm,
hey.
I'm just saying that's how deep they are. No, I'm not that at all.
We don't even want it in the universe. We don't even want it out in the universe.
I know. I could look. They may have to make a trade. Just looking ahead to cap space situations, but I wouldn't do it. I'd worry about that after the season. I'd go win the cup and worry about the cap next year. I just think, to me, it's this team. The chemistry is tremendous, and mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of what makes them so special is that the chemistry is so good. That's another reason I'd stand pat. At this point, I would stand pat. I think you can absorb losses. They've already proven it. Would you like to see them be a little bit tougher? Maybe, but how much, who are you going to put in to play tougher? you know, and that's the biggest concern, really, is if they go up against, you know, if Boston ever gets his legs back, you know, if Washington, you know, plays in the way they did a year ago, if they go up against the tough team that can, you know, kind of beat them up in the alley a little bit, you know, how do they come out of that? I know that they've played tougher, you know, this year in some games against Vancouver, maybe Edmonton. But, you know, what's it going to be like over a seven-game series? That's one of the questions I have. But I don't know if I would change the dynamic now to address that. I would just hope that, you know, we get the fast skating team as opposed to the, you know, the slower physical team, and we can just outskate them and outscore them.
Yeah, you can't beat them up if you can't catch them.
That's right. Exactly.
And the thing that's noticeable is pretty much after every single game now, Coach Cooper says how much he likes this team, how much he likes coaching this team, and what a great group of guys they are. And I think, I mean, he's saying it constantly. And I think he is having a fun time, Coach. Everybody looks like...
Well, it's fun when you're winning.
Well, that's true. They don't lose often. But it is a very... a feel, it's a vibe that this team gives off, that they're almost more than a team. It's like they're a family type of thing. So yeah, it's a very bonded situation, and maybe that's because of the fact that there hasn't been a lot of turnover. But whatever it is, it's working.
Yeah, and I think what he likes when he says he likes this team, you know, what coaches like is they like when they've got guys who buy in, mm-hmm. and this whole team buys in. And I think one of the big reasons is, you know, it is a good mixture of veterans and kids. The kids are going to buy in because, you know, they want to be here. So they're going to do whatever they have to do to make sure that they're getting some minutes and you know, getting looks and all that. But the veterans are buying in. You know,
yeah.
It's not just, you know, look, Steven Stamkos is buying in. He's, you know, after some tough moments a couple of years and where he was positioned and where he was playing, you know, he wasn't quite sure, but now he sees it, you know, and he admits it. He says, okay, now I see it. Now I understand it. Nikita Kucherov buys in. When you bring in players, you know, like JT Miller and McDonough, and they buy in, well, then it makes it easy. And that's what a coach wants. A coach wants people who buy in and just, you know, accept what he wants them to do. And that's the thing with, you know, where Steve Yzerman needs some credit. It's not just about, in fact, sometimes this is even more important. I've certainly learned this through covering the Buccaneers for 20 plus years. When you bring in a new player through a trade or free agency, it's not just about the talent. It's sometimes even more about the buy-in. You know, are they going to be a team player? Are they going to, you know, are they going to keep telling you, yeah, but you know what? When I was with so-and-so, this is how we did it. No. You're not with so-and-so anymore. You're here, and this is how we're going to do it. Are you going to buy into that? And if you do, everything works seamlessly, and everything goes the way you want it to. It's when the player doesn't necessarily buy into the new coach and the new scheme and keeps trying to do things the way he did them, you know, wherever it was. And
then you wind up in Montreal.
Yes, that was some shade. She said,
yeah, I said, then you wind up in Montreal when you don't want to buy in.
Yes. You're right. Yeah. No matter what the talent. Yeah. Again, believe me, you ask a coach and he'll tell you, yeah, talent's important, but I need the guy to buy in because the talent's not going to do me any good if the player doesn't want to buy into what we're doing. And if he doesn't want to buy into what we're doing, it's just not going to work. Yeah.
So, Roy, we kind of want to get your thoughts before we let you go, because we
know you got to run.
But we kind of want to get your thoughts on Alexander Ovechkin being elected to the All-Star team and very quickly bowing out. It's kind of a hot button in NHL radio, and people are talking about it. The Stars having the opportunity to bow out. There are some consequences. I think he has to sit out a certain number of games if he bows out, but. Thoughts on, you know, a player being elected? Because, quite honest, with the game being in San Jose this year, and two of our guys already being elected, and a third probably going to be elected, I kind of want them to have that week of rest a little bit. But, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, one of the Stanley Cup winning captain from the Capitals last year, bowing out for this year's All-Star game. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I, you know, my guess is that maybe from the very beginning of the season, just because, look, we all know because, you know, we've been there following a team that's gone through it. We don't know what it's like to actually live it. But the grind that you go through in the playoffs to win a Stanley Cup is just so incredibly tough. and maybe from the moment last season ended or this season began, maybe this is a plan that he's had. He says, you know, look, I know it's going to cause problems, but when it comes all-star time, if I'm on the list, I got to take those days off. I've got to do it for me. I've got to do it for my body. I've got to do it for my family, you know, my team, whatever it may be. And this is a plan that's been in place for a while. And that's my guess. And that he's trying to look bigger picture here at what's most important. You know, is going out and showing off my skills in an exhibition important, or is, winning and being ready for my team when it matters most in the playoffs, is that more important? I think that's what this is about. I hope that's what this is about. I don't like it, but I sort of understand why, maybe it would happen. The NHL, I think, has been fortunate. It doesn't have a lot of guys that avoid the game the way the NFL does. But at the end of the day, I sort of get it. I know he's getting beat up for it. I hope he just, maybe is a little more honest about why he's doing it, and maybe that'll get people to understand what's behind it all.
Yeah, and okay, so Bill Daly, the commissioner of the NHL, deputy commissioner of the NHL, said that he has to sit out one game adjacent to either side of the All-Star break, but he gets to choose which one. So
yeah, again, I think if the game plan again, and this is me speculating, but if the game plan is to just make sure that you're getting enough rest to make sure that you're good to go for the rest of the season. I get it.
Yeah.
And I can understand it. So, to me, it makes a little bit of sense. And if he has to miss a game, well, he'll miss a game. Look, we all know that, being first, winning the President's Trophy doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, sweep through the playoffs.
Yep.
So if one game costs them a particular seeding in the playoff race, I think they'll feel like, okay, we can somehow deal with it. They won a Stanley Cup. There's a good chance they can win another one. So we'll see how it goes. But, I sort of get it. I think it's all about making sure that he's rested up enough to be ready to go for the stretch.
Roy, thank you so much for joining us. Can you please remind everybody where they can find you online in the interwebs?
Yeah, it's at R. Cummings, FHCN on Twitter. And pewterpirates.com is where you'll find the good stuff. Check out the A Few Extra Bucks podcast. Even if you're not a Bucks fan, it's me and Mike Neighbors. And again, if you're an old Lightning fan, you remember Mike Neighbors being the sideline guy. He's the one who came before Aaron Andrews.
Thank you so much, Roy. All right, so that's it. That's all the time we have for this week. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, and we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.